You know what you're listening to?
Is that a trick question?
It's the I Still Love This Game podcast with your host, Matthew Damien.
He's an idiot. Don't listen to he's an idiot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the I Still Love This Game podcast. Now, when I started this podcast, the vision that I had for the show was to create a basketball-only podcast with no other issues and no other sports covered. Now, in today's show, I'll be breaking off a little bit from that because the New England Patriots, and more specifically Tom Brady, are going for their sixth Super Bowl ring. And with that, of course, six is a very iconic number when it comes to championships because that's how many Jordan won. So there's been quite a lot of conversation as to whether Brady has entered that conversation as the greatest, or at least from an American standpoint, the greatest team sport athlete of all time. So in this show, we're going to be having a look at this a little bit closer to see if Brady is a legitimate contender to that crown, or if Jordan is still on that spot by himself. And I should begin by saying that I actually made this comparison, well, not so much a comparison, but I pointed this out. Ironically, it was after they lost. It was after the New England Patriots lost to the Denver Broncos a couple of seasons ago. It was Peyton Manning's last home playoff game and win, obviously, in Denver. It was just before they went on to beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl. And I had written, this is back in the old Outside the Hype days, and I wrote that it's not going to be long before people start really bringing up Peyton Manning's name. Oh, not Peyton Manning, sorry, Tom Brady's name in the conversation of Michael Jordan. We've been quick to bring in Kobe. We've been very, very premature to bring in LeBron. But what I was willing to make an argument for was that Brady was right there. Even though at the time he only won four Super Bowl rings at the time, which was tied with Montana for the most, and also Terry Bradshaw, we can't forget him. The reason I was willing to overlook the fact that Jordan had six and Brady only had four at the time was the fact that Brady had been to two Super Bowls, and the two that he had lost was to the New York Giants, and they were both lost. How do I put this? Brady didn't play great in either Super Bowl. However, and this is where it becomes a real tricky sort of conversation to have, because in basketball, you can be in control, especially if you're a guard. You can be in control of everything on the offensive end. You don't really have to rely on anybody. You need spacing, you need good screens at times. If you want to go get the ball, you can go get it, and if you're good enough, you can dominate the game. Whereas Tom Brady, he can only put the ball on a receiver's chest. You know, it's up to the receiver to catch it. He can only give his team a lead. It's up to his defense to hold it. Because this is the other tricky part of it too. He's an offensive player, and in American football, it's almost, I can't think of one quarterback on the pro level that ever plays defense. Because you have different sides of the ball. You have the offense, you have the defense. I know in high school you get players doubling up and sometimes tripling up and playing special teams as well, but never in the pros. So in both Super Bowls that he had lost, he had given his team a lead in the fourth quarter, and his defense didn't hold on to it. So I was willing to say, well, he could only do so much. And had they had won both Super Bowls, he probably would have been the MVP of both of them. So that's another thing you have to factor in, that he played well enough to actually not just win, but also win the MVP. Now, with obviously the heroics of last year, coming back from, what was it, 28-3 or something ridiculous like that against Atlanta, there's been all kinds of conversation as to whether Brady is not just on the level with Jordan, but he's surpassed it. Now, I think it's a proper conversation to have, even though the comparisons are almost impossible because of the different positions and the different sports. But let's just go through the resumes first, and then we'll get into a little bit more context. So we'll start off with Tom Brady, and he's a five-time Super Bowl champion, as I said, four-time Super Bowl MVP. Quite honestly, he probably should have been five-time Super Bowl MVP. The only other time was when Deion Branch won it in the game against Philly way back when. I don't know, was it 2004? I think it was. It was a long, long time ago. And it's kind of hard to sort of give a wide receiver the award because, as I said before, the wide receiver and the quarterback are kind of interconnected. You know, the wide receiver is totally reliant on the quarterback. He's a 13-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, which is a telling number, by the way. It's only 3-time, and second-team All-Pro. So only 5 times has he been an All-Pro. 2 times he's been the league's most valuable player. 2 times he's been the league's offensive player of the year. Same years, by the way. NFL comeback player of the year 2009. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. He is the AP male athlete of the year 2007. Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year 2005. 3 times he was the NFL passing leader, passing yards leader. 4-time NFL passing touchdowns leader. 2 times he was the NFL passing passer rating leader. I don't like that stat at all, by the way, passing ratings. He was on the NFL 2000s All-Decade team, and he was national champion in 1997 in college. That one deserves a major asterisk because he wasn't even a starter. That was on the Charles Woodson team, by the way. Let's have a look at Jordan. And Jordan was 6-time champion. I'm going to fly through these because I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you know basketball a little bit, you know his resume, but we'll go through it just for comparison's sake. 6-time champion, 6-time finals MVP, 5-time NBA regular season MVP, 14-time All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-NBA first team, one single All-NBA second team, 1985, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 9-time All-Defensive First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year, NBA All-Rookie First Team, 10-time scoring champion, 3-time steals leader, 2-time slam dunk champion, 3 times he was the AP Athlete of the Year, he was a Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year, he's part of the NBA 50th Anniversary All-Time Team, NCAA Champion. In comparison to Tom Brady, he actually made the game-winning shot, he was on the court. He was the ACC Player of the Year, 2-time Consensus First Team All-American, and 2-time USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year. So, quite a bit to get through there. Now, I told you we were going to get into some context. First of all, Jordan played 13 seasons with the Bulls. So, this is the first part of the context that we need to get into. And that's the longevity part. Brady's resume is incredible, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to run his resume down. But Jordan blows him out of the water in nearly every single aspect, whether it's winning MVPs or winning championships. He's still one ahead of him, whether it's winning the finals MVP or the Super Bowl MVP, whether it's being the league MVP, whatever it is, he's ahead of him, right? Now, Jordan played 13 seasons with the Bulls. Now, but that also includes his second season, which he only played 18 games, and that was because of the broken foot. In the 95 season, he only played 17 games. That's when he returned from baseball. And then he had 2 more seasons in Washington. So I'm not going to include any of those because that's not fair. Brady has played 18 seasons. Now, to his fairness as well, I'm not going to include Brady's first season when he only played 1 game and he was like the 4th-string quarterback. I'm also not going to include his 2008 season, which was after the record-breaking season and then the first game. The safety for the Raiders, I think his name was Pollard, took his knee out, and he only played that 1 game, the opening game, that was it. So realistically, I'm only going to include 11 seasons for Jordan, 16 for Brady. Now, if you want to use longevity as an argument as to why Brady is better, I can see where you're coming from there, because durability matters, right? You don't want to just be a flash in the pan or whatever and just have 1 or 2 great seasons. You want to have a sustained period of excellence. However, for Jordan's resume to be that sparkling over only an 11-year period as opposed to a 16-year period makes me wonder what would have happened had his father not been murdered or the Bulls had been broken up, which forced 2 premature retirements. It just makes you wonder. Now, the other argument that I hear consistently which I have to dismiss. And it happens all the time against Jordan, whether it's LeBron versus Jordan or whoever, Russell or Wilt or Kareem against Jordan. And that's, Jordan never faced any competition. What a load of crap. That's ridiculous. Let me just address this. During Jordan's championship years, the Bulls championship years, so 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, 98, these are the Hall of Famers that he beat. Hall of Famers. Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Shaq, Payton, Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Joe Dumars, Isaiah, Magic, Drexler, Reggie Miller, and Dennis Rodman. That's 13 in a six-year period. Six championship seasons, and he went through 13 Hall of Famers. And need I remind you that basketball only has five players on the court. So if you're going up against one or two Hall of Famers, that's a difficult prospect because nearly half of the players that you're going up against are Hall of Famers. That's insane. Now, yes, he also played with Rodman. He played with Scottie Pippen too, who's also a Hall of Famer. So I'll give you that. He did have help. I'm not saying he didn't, but so did Tom Brady. Tom Brady had plenty of help. Look at that defense with Teddy Bruschi or Adam Vinatieri winning big playoff games with clutch kicking. He had people want to talk about Steve Kerr or John Paxson. What about Vinatieri? What about, as I said before, Branch winning the Super Bowl MVP? Nobody wants, not even the Hall of Famers of Pippen or Jordan won Finals MVP, but yet Branch won the Super Bowl MVP. Regardless, some of the Hall of Famers that Brady has competed up against, Ray Lewis, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, it's not a fair comparison either. Because the Basketball Hall of Fame is notoriously easy to get into as compared to the NFL Hall of Fame. So if you think I'm going to be biased, like if you think I'm going to be one of these idiots that's just going to say, make an argument for Jordan and not be fair to the other side, that's not going to happen here. So I just wanted to address that Jordan did go through some substantial talent and resistance in winning his championships, but it's hard to make that comparison to football because, as I said, football's so much more difficult. But I will say this. People do throw at Jordan a lot, oh, he never beat Larry Bird, or he struggled with the Pistons, or he lost to Shaq even though he just returned from playing baseball, which, you know, that's not really fair either. When Jordan retired in 94, it was actually 93, I should say, sorry, late 93, his father was murdered. He didn't retire with the intention to play baseball. He says that later on, but he retired just after he lost his father. And then after that, he went on and he decided to give baseball a crack. But he didn't retire and then instantly go to the White Sox. He retired to go on a sabbatical and then he decided to play baseball. Don't get it twisted. Now, some people say that Jordan actually retired because of gambling issues. Or they'll bring that up. It's like a real cheap shot sort of thing. I'll tell you what's not a cheap shot, though. Spygate. Or the playoff game against the Oakland Raiders with the Tuck rule. Those aren't cheap shots. Those are legitimate controversies that are huge black eyes or question, put asterisks alongside Tom Brady and the New England dynasty. So I'm not going to try to elevate Jordan by pushing down Tom Brady in New England, but that's a big thing. Right, the Spygate is a big. I'm not going to bring up Deflategate. That to me doesn't mean anything because that was one game, and there's no hard evidence for that. That was more hearsay and text messages amongst idiot managers, you know, who were saying that yeah, Tom Brady did this or whatever. I to me that whole thing was a massive debacle and a witch hunt. So once again, I'm going to be totally fair with this. And for the record, I'm not a Tom Brady fan by any stretch of the imagination. When I was growing up, I was a big Ray Lewis fan. So you can imagine, I definitely was not a Tom Brady fan. But I am going to be objective with it. And I think that was an absolute witch hunt. And the game that was in question, New England won by about 45 points against the Colts. So I'm not, there's no way that game makes a big difference. But Spygate is totally different. That was a game up against Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf. Remember that team with Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holt and that St. Louis Rams team. So what happened in that game was the Rams were looking unbeatable, absolutely unbeatable. And New England barely scraped into, like, they were a Cinderella story, but nobody really took seriously. And then out of nowhere, New England had all the answers for this, the greatest offense that we've really seen in the National Football League, maybe ever, of all time up until that point. And they were leading big time in that game. Turns out that New England were recording the St. Louis practices, and they were picking up on the play calls. Of course, does that affect Tom Brady? Maybe a little bit, maybe if he knows the defensive play calls, but it really affected St. Louis on the offensive end. They're an offensive team primarily. So once again, I'm not trying to push down Tom Brady or anything, but if people are going to make fun of or light of the fact that Jordan went to quote-unquote play baseball and retired to play baseball during his prime, I'm going to bring up this other stuff too, as trivial as it sounds. What's not trivial, though, is the question of can we actually make a comparison between these two? And I'm leaning towards no, because quarterback's the toughest position in all of sports. It really is, because you are... A lot of people say that a point guard is the coach on the court, but it's really not. Definitely not on the same level as what a quarterback is. A quarterback has to survey the field, has to read the defense, make the appropriate audibles, get the wide receivers in position. He has to see which defenders are coming on blitz and get them blocked. And then after all that, then he has to deliver the ball in a precise manner to whilst he's got defenders coming in each and every way, and you are a sitting duck most of the time, unless if you're a mobile quarterback. But Brady's not, so that doesn't apply here. You are a sitting duck where you've got, you know, 3-4 seconds with your life flashing in front of your eyes before someone like Ray Lewis or whoever is coming right for you and trying to take your head off. It's look at what happened to Brett Favre with the Bounty Gate up against the New Orleans Saints. So, I mean, if you don't think some of these, that teams target quarterbacks and try to knock them out of the game. So the quarterback position is brutal. That being said, it's also a gift and a curse that you're not responsible on the defensive end. So you don't have that responsibility, but at the same time, it's out of your hands. And I'm leaning towards you really can't make a comparison. Now, if you want to compare the resumes, that's sure. That's fine. I've got no problem with that. And Tom Brady's stacks up with just about anybody, including Jordan's. You can make an argument for Brady, and you can also say, well, okay, his resume doesn't quite line up with Jordan's, but he's played a more difficult position in a more brutal sport, so I'm going to go with Brady. And quite honestly, I've got no problem with that at all, because there's no counter to that. Apart from the fact that Jordan accomplished more in a shorter period of time. Now, beyond that, I might actually throw in that what could have been with Jordan as well, and what would have happened had his father not been murdered in 93 and had the Bulls been prematurely broken up or dismantled in 98. In 93, they didn't really change their roster a whole lot in that offseason after Jordan retired. Jordan retired very late in the offseason. So all they really did was bring in Pete Myers. They still had crew coach coming in. They still had Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, B.J. Armstrong. Can't remember if John Paxson was on that team, regardless, but B.J. Armstrong was taking pretty much all his minutes at that point. He became an all-star, actually, that year. That team still won 55 games. And that's somehow used against Jordan, by the way, because when Jordan retired, they still won 55 games as opposed to 57 the year before. So if you put Jordan on that team with the Eastern Conference that Atlanta actually had the top seed in with Danny Manning, of all people, they traded Dominic Wilkins to the Clippers. And they were bounced in the second round by Indiana. Look, I've got no reservations in saying that Bulls would have just cruised back to the finals. And had they gone back to the finals, yeah, they would have faced Hakeem Olajuwon and the Rockets. But that Rockets team was maybe one of the worst championship teams in maybe of all time. Not so much the next year. The next year with Clyde Drexler and Robert Horry complimenting Hakeem Olajuwon very well in the playoffs, that was a very good championship team. They went through a very, very arduous journey against Utah and Phoenix in the first round before dismantling the Spurs and the Orlando Magic to claim their second straight title. But the 94 team was quite pathetic in comparison. And people seem to think that 94 team was better because of Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell was a terrible two-guard. It was a decent defender, but he shot the ball way too much. And you saw what Jordan did to Byron Scott. And I kind of think that the same thing would happen going up against Mad Max. In 95, it's a little bit difficult. It's different to sort of predict how that would have gone because the Bulls did have now an off-season to try and rebuild. So Horace Grant was gone. Bill Cartwright retired. Ron Harper came in and was playing big minutes. So they were trying to reconstruct that team. And when Jordan came back, so had Jordan stuck around in 93, they wouldn't have rebuilt it. And that's important to know because people will say, well, what about that 95 team? Because Jordan did come back. But that was a different team. They were forced into rebuilding it the previous offseason because they didn't know Jordan was going to return midseason. So they let Horace Grant go. And they let Bill Cartwright retire. So had they had that same core, I kind of think that there's a good chance they would still have made the NBA Finals. And with just keep in mind, Scottie Pippen's still fairly young. Horace Grant's still fairly young. BJ Armstrong isn't too old. And Jordan, who knows how good he would have been at that point. Considering how well he was sharpening his tools and refining his game with age. And when he came back from baseball, he still averaged 27 a game. And the next season after that, he averaged 30. For the next 3 years, he averaged 30. So I've got no... I still think he would have been the most dominant player in the league. I'm not sure if they would have been in that Houston Rockets team had they had faced in the finals again. But it would have been interesting. But then again, because of this hypothetical, you don't know how the Bulls would have gone in terms of getting Dennis Rodman. Now, if they were able to get Dennis Rodman to play alongside Horace Grant, because they got Dennis Rodman for virtually nothing. Remember, they traded him for Will Perdue. So if you had a lineup of Rodman, Horace Grant, Pippen, Jordan, Ron Harper, oh, and you also have Tony Kukoc coming off the bench, but just think of that starting five and the defensive capabilities you have there. All five guys can guard. All five guys can pretty much guard any position with very little switching. And that includes Horace Grant getting out on the perimeter at that age, that stage of his career. As of course, Dennis Rodman can do that. Pippen and Jordan and Harper coming down from the perimeter. If they get caught up on switches, they're all strong enough to actually guard a post player. That team may have actually been better than the 72 win team. And that's saying a lot. That's saying so much. So we're going to assume that Rodman's still there. They run off three straight titles. But towards the end of it, they might be struggling a little bit too in terms of age. Rodman was pretty much running on fumes. Scottie Pippen was a little bit more injury prone. Remember, he had ankle surgery, forced him to miss 20 or so games to start the 98 season. And then by the end of the playoffs, his back was blown out. Jordan looked like he was on his last legs in the series against Utah. But I think it's a reasonable bet that they would have won 8 straight and maybe even 9 straight had they brought everyone back for the 99 season, because if they were going up against a young Spurs team with Tim Duncan, when I say a young team, they're still full of veterans, Mario Elie, Avery Johnson, David Robinson, of course. I think they still could have gotten over the line against the Spurs, but then I think the Lakers probably would have taken them out quite convincingly. the next year or the year after. So we're talking about 9 straight titles, hypothetically. So if we're going to bring in the context of, well, Jordan never played a tougher... he didn't play as tough of a position or sport as quarterback in the American football. Yeah, that's fair enough. But how about we throw out there that what if Jordan never retired both times in the 90s? That's an interesting counter, and I didn't think a whole lot of people can raise too many... It's not that far-fetched. Now, if you're going to make me pick between the two of them, that's not easy at all. What I've tried to do is present both sides of the argument, and hopefully the listeners will be able to decide for yourselves. But if you want my personal opinion on it, I still am going to go with Jordan, because for a shorter period of time, he dominated the game more significantly than what Tom Brady has dominated. Jordan's resume, even though it's condensed in a shorter period of time, is superior to Tom Brady's. Now, Brady is still playing, and that's an absolute test of it. And I love the backstory of Brady. I love the fact that he, for the first 2 seasons in college, he wasn't even the starter. I love the fact that he was picked 199th overall. I love the fact that he was a 4th-string quarterback, and he had to work. There was a bit of luck to get in there, but once he got his feet wet a little bit and started to get a little bit more comfortable in the position that he was in, and also great, unbelievable coaching by Belichick. And what I mean by that, because obviously Jordan had great coaches too, whether it was Doug Collins or Phil Jackson, but Belichick knew what he had, and he didn't ask Tom Brady to throw for 400 yards in his first couple of seasons. He allowed Brady to develop into what he has now become. And now Tom Brady can manage a game, or he can dominate a game. He can carry a team should that need arise. But what I do find interesting, there's a couple of things I find interesting about this conversation. Number one, if Tom Brady only had 3 rings, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's odd to me that the people that say rings don't matter when it comes to comparing, say, LeBron and Jordan. Oh, Jordan's got 6, LeBron's got 3. Oh, but let's just ignore that. Let's put that to the side for a minute. Rings don't matter. But now, if Tom Brady matches Jordan and he wins his 6, then they say, okay, well, he's on that. He's won 6 titles. His level is at least his level with Jordan, rather than looking at the other stuff as well. So that, to me, is fascinating. The other part that has struck my curiosity is, for all these people that have mentioned or taken part in this conversation, why have we not seen the argument for LeBron versus Tom Brady? Is it possible that these people who are quick to say that LeBron has surpassed, or is nipping at the heels of Jordan, is it possible they don't really even believe what they're saying themselves? Because wouldn't they be their first reaction be this, hold on a second, why are we talking about Jordan versus Brady? Shouldn't we talk about LeBron versus Brady? Just something that I picked up on. Now, there is something else that happened today that I absolutely have to address, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. And the poor guy suffered a ruptured Achilles. And I kind of feel bad now because I've been watching a few Pelicans games lately, and I've been confused by the way he's been playing. He's been bringing the ball up. The guy is 7'1" or 7 foot at least, 270, 280 pounds, very athletic guy, but he's huge. Why is he bringing the ball up? Especially when you have Rondo and Drew Holiday and players like that that are more than capable of doing it themselves. Regardless, looks like he's torn his Achilles and his season is over, and who knows how he's going to recover from that. We've seen this injury before with plenty of players, and they've never been the same after. And it's a difficult sort of situation for the Pelicans now. They have been rolling. They won 8 of their last 10, now have a record of 27 and 21. And Oklahoma has barely held them off for the fifth spot. They're only one game ahead of them. But that being said, they are only a couple of games ahead of the Clippers and the Nuggets for the eighth and ninth spot. So it's definitely a logjam in that second half of the playoff seedings in the West. So what do you do? Obviously, as I was saying, like DeMarcus Cousins is essentially their primary playmaker, despite his size, and you would think he'd be closer to the basket, but he's not. He gets out on the perimeter and he creates this for other guys as well. So what do you do with the rest of the team if they start slipping? Is Anthony Davis suddenly available? And if so, who can actually get him? Because I'm not sure how much patience. This is a brutal game, isn't it? It's a brutal sport because they were finally clicking it into gear and they were looking like the team that we thought they may have been last year, or they should have been last year, when they picked up Cousins from Sacramento. Now all of a sudden, because after years and years of disappointment with Anthony Davis and Alvin Gentry, how willing would management be to give this thing another roll of the dice, because they're with huge question marks over whether DeMarcus Cousins will be as effective as he's been? And if the answer is no, they may have to rebuild, and rebuilding would mean, see you later, Anthony Davis, who's an absolute stud, especially on the defensive end. And wouldn't it be interesting if Cleveland, out of all of this, somehow walks away with Anthony Davis? If they're able to package up that Brooklyn pick, obviously, that would be an absolute must, and Kevin Love, and maybe some additional pieces to New Orleans for Anthony Davis. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe they would have to throw in Isaiah Thomas, and then the Pelicans would have to give up Rajon Rondo, which wouldn't be a bad swap, especially when you take into account what happened in the playoffs last year, when Rondo was out playing Isaiah Thomas. So then you get two star defensive players. Well, I'm not sure if you can call Rondo a star defensive, but he's definitely not a liability the same way that Isaiah Thomas is. Would that be enough to fix the defensive issues in Cleveland? And is that enough to then put them back right into the mix of not just contenders to win the East, but contenders for the championship? It made things interesting, without question. But I'm not sure if it's enough, and it's probably a very long shot that happens. But it's something to sort of take into account. But it's very disappointing with New Orleans. I thought all along with Cousins and Davis that they could be the new Memphis Grizzlies of Randolph and Pau Gasol. Oh, not Pau Gasol, sorry. Marc Gasol, in terms of just strength and beat you up inside, but have the finesse of Gasol, and that being, of course, Anthony Davis, and the big body, the brute would be Cousins instead of Zach Randolph. I thought they would be the next tier of that potential championship contenders of that style. Of course, that didn't eventuate, especially not this year. And I would hope, my gut is, I hope that they don't blow this up. I hope they give Cousins another chance to get back healthy, and let's see what's possible with this group, because we're yet to see it, and I think it might be premature to rebuild. But I could understand if New Orleans doesn't have the patience for that anymore. Anyway, guys, we're going to wrap that episode up for you there. Thanks for listening once again. We're available on iTunes, we're available on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and of course, istilllovethisgame.com. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, matt@istilllovethisgame.com, or check out the Facebook or the Instagram pages, just search I Still Love This Game. Thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed the show.